Welcome to Searchlight, a survey through Scripture with Pastor John Corson. It is our desire to bring you a systematic study of the entire Bible, chapter by chapter, book by book. In our study through 1 Samuel, we are seeing the dangers of insisting on your own way. The people of Israel were demanding a king. This was essentially a rejection of God as their king. To the people of Israel, it was more important for them to be like the surrounding nations than to obey God. As we pick up the story today, we will see the choice for Israel's first king. Here now is Pastor John.
1 Samuel chapter 9. As you recall, we left off with the people of Israel calling for a king. Up to this time, they had been a theocracy. God was the leader of the nation. But now they wanted to fit in and be like the other countries that surrounded them. And all of the other countries had a king, and they wanted one as well. They called for a king. And in so doing, the Lord heard their cry and would grant them their wish. And so we now see the appointing of the first king, a guy by the name of Saul. There was a man of Benjamin whose name was Kish, the son of Abiel, the son of Zeror, the son of Bechorath, the son of Aphiah. And you'll have a test on those names next week. Who was a Benjamite, a mighty man of power or substance. We would say today he was wealthy. So Kish was a guy who had wealth. And he had a son, verse 2 tells you and me, whose name was Saul, very appropriately. Because, you see, the name Saul means requested. And the people had requested for a king to lead them. So, Saul is going to be the one, as we shall see. He was a choice young man, and a goodly, or a handsome man. And there was not among the children of Israel a goodlier person than he. He really was a good-looking man, who had a charisma to him. He was tall, we are told in verse 2. From his shoulders and upward, he was higher or taller than any of the people. Certainly, this would be an appealing thing to the people of Israel, for you see, the Philistines were their primary enemy at this time. And the Philistines were known to have a few big guys in their midst, like Goliath and his brothers. So it would seem that this would be the one, Saul, the tallest guy in the land of Israel. Hey, he would be the one that ought to lead them. Because you see, well, they do what all people do. Man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. He seemed to be a great choice outwardly. He seemed to be the one that would lead them successfully against their Philistine enemies. So, Saul was a guy that now surfaces, and he seems to fit the bill, at least outwardly. Here's how his story unfolds. The asses of Kish, Saul's father, were lost. Now, asses or donkeys were like pickup trucks. Very, very valuable. You would be considered to be a rich person if you had two donkeys. You would be middle class if you had one. If you had three or more, my goodness, you know, you're living in the hills of Jacksonville or something like that. he would be a very wealthy guy because, you see, he had lost his donkeys. He had several donkeys, many donkeys. And Kish said to Saul, verse 3, his son, take one of the servants with thee and go and seek the donkeys. So Saul grabbed a servant, and they passed through Mount Ephraim and Shalisha, Shalem, throughout the land of the Benjamites, verse 4 tells us, but they found the donkeys nowhere. And when they were come to the land of Zuph, verse 5 says, Saul said to his servant that was with him, come, let us return, let's go back, lest my father stop caring for the donkeys and start worrying about us. We don't want dad to worry about us, so servant, let's go back, you see. But the servant, verse 6, said to Saul, behold now, hey, there is in this city a man of God, and he is an honorable man. All that he saith cometh surely to pass. Now, let's go thither. Peradventure, he can show us our way that we should go. Saul, hang on. We're at a place now where there is a man of God who is a prophet. Everything he says comes to pass. Let's ask him if he knows anything about the missing donkeys. So Saul said to his servant, verse 7, but if we go, what shall we bring the man? For our bread is spent, and there is not a present to bring this man of God. What have we? What are we going to give to the guy? What are we going to pay him for his services? Well, the servant answered Saul again, verse 8, and said, hey, I have here in my hand the fourth part of a shekel of silver. I've got a little spare change, and I will give to the man of God to tell us the way. Now, before time in Israel, verse 9 says, when a man went to inquire of God, thus he spake, come, let us go to the seer. For he that is now called a prophet was before time called a seer. Prophets in these days were known as seers, not because that's where they shopped, but rather because, you see, they could see things. They could see what others couldn't see. They knew what others didn't know. And because they could see, they were called seers. And then they began to be known as prophets. So Saul said, verse 10, to his servant, okay, come, let us go. So they went unto the city where the man of God was. And as they went up to the hill of the city, they found young maidens going out to draw water, and said to them, I like this, is the seer here? And they answered and said, yeah, he is. Behold, he is before you, straight ahead. Make haste now, for he came today to the city, for there is a sacrifice or a feast. It's a celebration for the people in the high place. And as soon, verse 13, as you be come into the city, you shall straightway find him before he goes up to the high place to eat. For the people won't eat until he comes, because he doth bless the sacrifice. And afterwards they eat. Now therefore, get you up, and about this time you shall find him. So they went up, verse 14, into the city. And when they were come into the city, behold, Samuel the prophet came out against them. He was going up to the high place. Now, verse 15, the Lord had told Samuel in his ear a day before Saul came, saying, tomorrow, about this time, I will send thee a man out of the land of Benjamin, and thou shalt anoint him to be captain over my people Israel, or king over my people, that he may save or deliver my people out of the hand of the Philistines. For I have looked upon my people, because their cry is come to me. Wow. The day previously, Samuel heard a word in his ear. Tomorrow, a man is going to come, the one whom I have chosen to be the captain, the king of the nation. I find this interesting that the Lord whispered in Samuel's ear the day before this event took place, to let him know what was coming down. Because back in verse 20, 1 of chapter 8. We read this: Samuel heard all the words of the people, and he rehearsed them in the ears of the Lord. Those who whisper in the ears of the Lord will hear the Lord's whisper in their ear as well. Samuel prayed. You know, he was troubled, as we saw in our study last time, about the people's request for a king. He was depressed about that. He was upset by that, or with that. And he talks to the Lord. He rehearses in the ears of the Lord all the things that the people were saying. Such a key. To rehearse in the ears of our Lord the things that are troubling you, troubling me. I'm convinced that a lot of times I don't hear what the Lord would want to say in my ear because I haven't first talked to him. Samuel was a man who understood what it meant to pray without ceasing. And so the Lord whispers in his ear, saying, tomorrow, on that day, a man's going to come, and he's the one chosen to be king of the nation. So, as Samuel drew near, verse 17, when Samuel saw Saul, the Lord said to him, behold, the man of whom I spake to thee of, this same man shall reign over my people. Saul drew near to Samuel in the gate and said, tell me, I pray thee, where the seer's house is. Not knowing that Samuel was the man he was looking for, where can I find this seer? And Samuel answered Saul and said, I am the seer. Now go up before me unto the high place, the hill. For you shall eat with me today, and tomorrow I will let thee go and will tell thee all that is in thine heart. Hey, I'm the guy you're looking for, but today let's eat together. And tomorrow I'll tell you all that's on your heart, all that you want to know, but today let's eat together. And by the way, he says, as for thine asses, verse 20, that were lost 3 days ago, set not thy mind on them. Don't worry about that. They're found. And on whom is all the desire of Israel? Is it not on you and on your father's house? Don't worry about the donkeys. You got to understand, Samuel said to Saul, that you're the man. All the desire of Israel is upon you. You're special. The Lord is doing something radical. You're the man, you see. And Saul said, what you talking about? Am I not a Benjamite? That's the smallest of the tribes of Israel, and my family the least of all the families in the tribe of Benjamin? You know, hey, I'm from the smallest tribe, and my family is the smallest family in the tribe, and hey, why do you speak this way to me? Verse 22, Samuel took Saul and his servant and brought them into the parlor and made them sit in the chiefest place among them that were bidden, which were about 30 persons. So Samuel brought Saul and his servant in. The room was set up for a meal. 30 people were there, approximately. And Samuel, verse 23, said to the cook, bring the portion which I gave thee, of which I said unto thee, set it by thee. Bring that special chunk of meat that I said, hey, hold it in reserve. And the cook took up the shoulder and that which was upon it and set it before Saul. And Samuel said, behold, that which is left, set it before thee and eat. For unto this time hath it been kept for thee since I said, I invited these people. I have saved this piece of meat for you. The shoulder was considered to be one of the prime pieces of beef. It was a very great honor to be served that piece of meat at a banquet like this. There was a second piece of meat in Bible days that was also considered to be a real special delicacy, an Epicurean delight, and that was the breast area. Which is interesting because he was given the shoulder, but not the breast. He was given the shoulder because Saul was a man who was known to be head and shoulders above others. He was a man that had a goodly outward appearance. He was a man that showed real strength, as we shall see. But he didn't really have a heart for God. It's all about the outward as Saul's life unfolds, tragically. And because of that, it's appropriate that he was given the shoulder, because it sort of speaks of where he's at, what his thing really is. It's outward. It's not an internal tenderness towards God, as we shall sadly see. So Saul did eat with Samuel that day, and when, verse 25, they were come down from the high place to the city, Samuel communed with Saul upon the top of the house. Now keep in mind, the top of the houses in those days were flat. We're not talking Santa Claus here with a sleigh and reindeer on the top of a house. We're talking about a place that was designed where people could sit in the evening times and enjoy the breezes that would blow across the way as they sat outside in these patios, really, the top of the house, flat. And that's where they communed and spent time chatting with each other. And then they arose early, verse 26, it came to pass about the spring of the day that Samuel called Saul back up to the top of the house, saying, "Up, that I may send thee away." Saul arose, and they went out, both of them, he and Samuel, abroad. And as they were going down to the end of the city, Samuel said to Saul, "Tell your servant to go on before us." And the servant passed on. "But you, Saul, stand thou still a while, that I may show thee the word of God." Send your servant away, but I want you to stand still, because there's something I've got to say. There's something more that the Lord wants to do through me for you. Stand still. I know you're anxious to get back. I know you're worried about your dad and the donkeys and all the rest. But stand still. Slow down. Stand still. Listen up. Because there's a word from the Lord for you. Then, verse 1 of chapter 10. As Samuel and Saul were standing there, he took a vial of oil and poured it upon Saul's head and kissed him and said, "Is it not because the Lord hath anointed thee to be king over his inheritance? And when you art departed from me today, you shall find two men by Rachel's tomb in the border of Benjamin, and they will say to thee, 'The asses which thou wentest to seek are found.'" And here we see the anointing of Saul to be the king. The idea of anointing was not unique to Israel. Historically, the countries and nations around Israel also anointed their kings and leaders as well. But what they would use, they used animal fat to anoint. We know this from historical records and archaeological finds. The anointing of kings and leaders of the nations around Israel in that region were animal fats, because they believed that by pouring on the fat of a bull or an ox and rubbing it in to a man's head, that somehow it would be able to infuse that individual with strength and power. So for many, many generations before this story that we're reading here tonight takes place, the idea of anointing was practiced by the people of the Middle East, but generally using animal fat and working it in to a man, believing that, perhaps symbolically, maybe superstitiously, that the power of a bull or the power of an ox would be worked into that potential leader, you see. Now, when God instituted anointing for his people, it wasn't from the fat of an animal, but it was oil from the olive tree that was used primarily, mixed with other spices as well. The idea was, it's not to be something which is making me an animal. You know, I'm a real animal. But rather, I'm one who is rooted and grounded in the things of God to bring fruit for the glory of God. So the pouring out of the oil, as we talked about on Sunday, from that time on, oil was a symbol of the pouring out of the Holy Spirit upon God's kings. Before that, oil was poured out upon God's priests. And also, God's prophets would also receive this oil, this anointing. It's a symbol, a picture of the Holy Ghost. And when a person was anointed, they would be saying, I just want the power and presence of the Spirit. Not some ox, not some bull, not some animal, but I want the power of the Spirit to come upon me, you see. Wonderful picture. Now, before we leave this section, I want to point something out to you of real practical importance. Because, see, there are times when we look like donkeys or lose our donkeys or wonder about donkeys. Things trouble us. We wonder, you know, I've lost my way. I feel like a donkey. Or I'm concerned about this. I'm not sure what to do with my business. Or there's a problem in the family, like in this story. Kish was worried and sent his son to take care of this matter, you see. And in this story, we do see that God truly does care about donkeys, like you, like me. Things that are lost, things that might seem to be historically insignificant or eternally unimportant, but for us, when we're in the midst of it, we feel the burdens and the tensions and the anxieties about the lost donkeys, and God says, I want to help you with that. I want to help you, John. When you feel like a lost donkey, or when you feel like there's some stuff that's missing that you have responsibility for, when you are full of anxiety or fears or tensions or worries, I want to help you. But I want you to see what is happening in our story. It's an important one. They go to Samuel, who would be the anointer, who would be the one that would pour out the oil on Saul at the end of this story, as we have read. And Samuel is a type here, a picture of the Holy Spirit. He's a seer. He sees, like the Spirit of God searches out all things.
This is an important picture and understanding, but unfortunately we don't have time to consider it on today's program. Please join us next time as Pastor John explains and makes application of this important point. We'll see you then. This teaching is also available on the Searchlight website at johncorson.com. You will also find on the website Pastor John's books and other Bible study resources. Again, the address of the website is johncorson.com.
Pastor John has often encouraged us to spend time each day contemplating the Word of God. One great way to do this is with a daily devotional. Pastor John has put together 3 daily devotionals that cover the entire Bible. A Pillar by Day and A Day of Feasting are taken from the Old Testament. A Day's Journey is a devotional from the New Testament. Each daily devotional has 365 short meditations and are presented in John's insightful and practical style. You may order each daily devotional from our website at johncorson.com.
Searchlight is a listener-supported ministry. We appreciate your prayers and support. May the Lord richly bless you.